Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gates. Let's love.
Me go poop now. Me poop?
Me poop.
Good
I need to
job.
Poop.
Good job.
You know, I never thought I would see this on television, but here we are. Y'all, this is Reality Gaze, and this is Poodle, of course. But this is our good friend Kyle from Cray Cray, 90-day Cray Cray. Hello, wonderful Kyle.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to get my energy up. I'm going to get my energy way up, and I'm going to be a perfectionist. I mean,
you guys are the
Michael Jackson of podcasts, and I'm just the Usman of podcasts.
Hey!
So I'm trying to get my energy up.
Oh, but you're an international star in Africa. So
an international
Tanzania.
Star in Nigeria.
Kyle is here today filling in for Maddie, who I'm sure you guys have heard from our Facebook group and us talking about it on the podcast. Maddie's dad's not doing really well. He's actually been moved to palliative care. So send as many prayers or good vibes or good intentions to him and his family. And as they kind of figure out this next step of his journey. And I've been telling everyone in the Facebook group, don't message him because he's got enough to deal with right now. So if you could kind of respect the family's privacy at this time, if you want to send a sympathy card or something to him, you can send it to our P.O. box, which is 5482 Wilshire Boulevard, number 362. And that's in Los Angeles, 90036.
We've been
bombs.
You guys are brave for putting that out there. We've also been making sure everyone knows, kind of in a sort of tangential issue, is that especially for cancer patients that need blood, there is a huge blood shortage in the United States right now. So we've been trying to get everyone out to donate blood and platelets. With Corona, people aren't donating blood as much as they used to. But if you are feeling okay, and I also learned that you can be super duper stoned and go do it, and they don't care at all.
And you know what? You strangely can't be gay. So,
yeah.
Sorry. So y'all, because I can't donate blood, you should go. Because unfortunately,
what a country.
I've had sex with another man in the last, I don't know, I think it's like with the last like year and a half or something. So if
they only knew.
But what I would tell you as well is besides donating blood and platelets, we're going to do something as far as with our Facebook group. And if you'd like to right now we're on a little bit of hold, just kind of figuring everything out, but we will probably announce something with a donation going to the Multiple Myeloma Foundation for research.
That's great. It has always struck me as such a strange policy because they're basically saying they want you to wait the gay away.
Oh, it's amazing. And no other modern, wealthy, industrial country does that.
Yeah,
it is part of our Quaker slash cuckoo magoo religious past where we were so, our ancestors were actually so obnoxious that we had to be shoved out of a country and thrown into a ship and sent somewhere else.
And now there's cults like Ben. And this policy sounds like it came right from Ben's cult's mouth.
Right? So, yeah. So, because I can't donate blood, y'all go out.
Our tinfoil on Ben is that he was part of the Way Down Workshop. And that's why he divorced. That's why he divorced his wife, because she wasn't skinny enough for Jesus.
Honey. I'm a big fan of Ben's ex, Lisa. We did the show Extreme Sisters, so I can only say Lisa. Like one person who was from New Jersey was like Lisa with an R. Lisa, I'm telling you, your husband is my husband now. the couples from Jersey. They were the most interesting people on the show, and that the couples were. They were best friends even after they got divorced. That was kind of the idea of you, me, and my ex, not Extreme Sisters, I'm sorry, but you, me, and my ex. It was just a complete freak show of a television program. Can't recommend it enough.
Speaking of freak shows, Before the 90 Days.
Before the 90 Days, season 5. You guys, if you don't know Kyle, Kyle from Cray Cray, he and Kim do a show. Like you were kind of like one of the first to start recapping this show, right?
Yeah, right place, right time, basically.
don't sell yourself short, but they were. Both he and Kim were so generous at the first start. And when we decided to start helping us recapping the show, they were so good with helping us on the having us on the show and telling people to listen to us. So we're very, very grateful. And definitely listen to them, because what our show is, you know what our show's like, but they have lots of stuff that, They're very intelligent people, and they have well thought out theories instead of our show, where it's basically Maddie naming Oklahoma towns he's been to and me saying, as someone in a review put it, SAT words that make me sound smart. And I take issue with that, because that's not true. They're words that I learned when I read the dictionary as a child. And my mother would look at me and say, "Jaybird, what word did you learn today? Conundrum, Mama, or something." And
we always say that you guys are the show for people that appreciate actual talent, and we're the show. I guess if you like putting a tinfoil hat on and drinking whiskey, I don't know.
I think, but the thing is. It's the whole 90 Day podcast community is so diverse in the way, in like the style of shows. So I promise
and very
you guys,
supportive. And very supportive.
Yes, they are.
It feels like especially the last fucking week, it really feels like we're all in the trenches together out there.
Yeah. There's also Pink Shade with Aaron and Mary Payne and 420 Fiance. We did a live with them, and I always want to go back and swing around with them to do a crossover. They're fun people. They are high usually.
one would hope.
that's kind of the gimmick.
It's funny when we started doing this podcast, I was pretty much the first 10 episodes. If you subscribe to our Patreon, you can listen to every episode we've ever done. The first 10 episodes, I was just raging drunk, and because no one was gonna listen to this ever. No one's ever gonna listen to this. I was just getting drunk with my friend, and now I've had to sober up and limit myself to one drink, or I'll say something even more stupid than normal.
People are like, is this an audio version of like a sad Sam Shepard play? This is just drinking. Or like a third act of a Gina Rowlands movie.
You don't know about love. You never loved him. No more pain.
No more pain. I'm listing in my power. They also, like we do, of course, Kim and Kyle cover the magic that is Darcy and Stacey. The I don't know what I would call that show. It's not really a documentary style of their life. It's almost like it's in the middle of an infomercial for how not to be in your late 40s.
It's a cautionary tale for sure.
I think it is. Yeah, but you know what? It's really fucking entertaining. So that's why we watch it and recap it.
I mean, that show will continually have a place in my heart as long as Georgie is on that show, because I find him endlessly entertaining.
Well, and they've got the friends, Raina and Debbie.
The wine drunk friends,
Darcy. And then Debbie, who I always do, is just like Jackie Mason. Everything is like, Darcy, why don't you go do that?
Georgie said that we were trash.
No, I never said this.
Okay, yeah, I love you. I love you, Georgie.
It is like that. I'm so glad the friends are in their lives. They almost came from casting. It's so perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so y'all, let's get down to brass tacks. Before we do, let me just talk one little thing about, we have live shows coming up in New York on January 28th and 29th. So get your tickets for those. We're pretty much sold out on the 29th. 28th has got, we've pretty much, I think we're 2/3 sold on that. I know it's hard for me to say, come see our show in Omicron. But I will tell you, we're being as safe as we can. I've contacted a friend who is actually a friend who's now a friend at the CDC, and she says, y'all are doing everything you can. It's a vaccinated show. It's also everyone's wearing a mask. So get your tickets there. You can go to our link tree on our Instagram to find tickets there. It's going to be a fun time. And also, if you're in New York, go to the Crappies. Our friends Watch What Crappens are doing a show on the 29th. They're awards, and we are at that award show. We may be singing, just throwing that out there. Maddie would yell at me right now for giving something away.
Sold.
So yeah, do that. Other than that, let's jump in, Kyle. Should we? Oh, God. This is episode 6, Burns and Betrayals. Were the burns Jimena's fallopian tubes?
I think the burns were the wounds inflicted by the Sicario on his victims. You know those guys, when you think of a hitman in your head, you think, oh, he just pow. Back of the head, you're dead. Or a sniper. No, a Sicario will rip your fingers off one at a time and feed them to you and then remove your parts until you're dead. And film it and put it on YouTube later.
And what was interesting is she's had men like this live with, but what she can't abide is his farting. So you know that fart had to be bad. If she's like, hitman, yes. Farting, no.
You know, the smell of your farts is far worse than the smell of blood that I'm used to.
It's the smell of me trying to get blood out of his shirts. Or the gunpowder he would come home smelling of. Or the ozone of cocaine.
There's a shortage of lava soap. God damn it. Fucking Omicron.
I liked it when we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I don't care. I liked it when she's like, yeah, and I found out after a week that he was an actual hitman, not a tattoo artist. And I went, is it because he said, honey, I'm going to go run an errand?
I feel like there's so many details we need to understand. Like, how did she find out?
She is the ultimate master of understatement. She only says what she has to explain things to him. I've said this before, and people can't believe that I think this. She's my favorite person on this season, because of the she is living her life on camera. So kind of, she's even though she knows she's doing crazy shit, she's so kind of forthright about it. She's like, yeah, I got to do this. I'll get to love him sometime.
It's just kind of my life, and now it's on film, and here you go, and hope you don't die.
That's kind of where we are with her. Yeah.
I loved Mike's reaction, and I loved Mike's reaction not because he reacted in a particular way. It's just the contrast. She tells him that there's a hitman that was going to murder me. And that, in his response to that, was basically, oh, okay. But later on in the season, if you've watched like the preview, he does a pull runaway from her because his farts are bad.
Right.
Yeah. So hitman, oh, weird. Farts, I'm going to run off camera into the fucking alley in Colombia.
It does feel like he's only says like, so wait, so the hitman isn't really interested in you anymore. Could he come back and kill me or the kids? That's what I'm asking.
No. I mean, unless you go on TV or something weird.
I know. That's what I screamed. You're like, maybe you keep a low profile, honey. maybe you don't go on a huge show with a big international following. Say that you're with a new man, and maybe the guy you were last with said, if I can't have you, no one will. I'm going to shoot this minion.
or Gromit or Wallace.
Or Gromit, as we've also said.
I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
The other thing I can't get out of my head watching her is there's these moments where she appears to have genuine affection for him.
Yeah.
And then I have to force myself to remember she literally fucking barebacked a guy in prison because she wanted his babies, and she still is in love with him. And she said on camera she's using Mike for money because she's in love with a prison man.
Kyle, she's in love with love. That's just it. She loves love. And she loves the bad boys. You know, I understand that.
what can you say? YOLO.
Yeah, exactly. She loves love. Like Darcy's brother. He loved love. But let's just jump into them while we're talking about them. So this is Mike and Jimena, and they're taking a tour of the coffee growing area, which I have to say, Colombia is fucking beautiful. I definitely want to go there. But he says, I'm still upset about the secret that you told me when you told me that I'd never be able to have children with you. Just a little upset. And she says again, thank God for this translator. It seems to be working okay now. Well,
you notice they ditched the Jihoon translator, and now they're just using a phone.
They did. And I will say, when the last episode, when the translator had to say, I told you I had actually snipped my fallopian tubes and they burned them. And all I could think of is the translator like, oh my God, why are you making me say these things?
I wonder if they do two takes, one with each translator, and then just pick the one that feels the most appropriate.
That is probably, that is genius. It has to be that way. Because I think they figured it out with Jihoon and Devin. When Jihoon goes, oh, when it would do the wrong thing.
Oh, my asshole is so clean. Yes.
So
good. You know,
those were the first season of The Other Way. I think definitely for me is some of the best of the whole series. I still have memories about the first season of The Other Way and the first time we saw Lara in that horrible wedding dress. The first time we met Evelyn, and the first time when she was walking around the town and every man they'd introduce to, she was like, yeah, we dated. He's like, oh, okay.
The first scene with Evelyn, they were in his car in Mill B or wherever the fuck he
Mill
was.
Mill A. They have a big rivalry, Kyle. Don't get him confused.
And she's the first scene we see with her. She's like, give me money for the ATM. And he's like, oh, okay, here you go.
And now she's pimping his ass out on OnlyFans. So nothing's changed.
Nope. I think he's all too happy to show his abs to the most number of people.
I'm all about get yours. It does feel like she's sitting back there with like a pimp jacket on and some money, just making it rain all the time. So they're talking about, she said, I was in a lot of pain and I was scared. I did not want to have another child because both my births were complicated. And she says, seriously, I'm glad I had my tubes tied. She was like, because I was making a lot of bad decisions, and I wrote down because y'all, I'm that girl and I like bad boys, and I would have probably got like a lot more kids.
It was kind of confusing because on the one hand she said, my births were horribly painful and that was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life, right, and I never wanted to do that again. But then 2 seconds later, yeah, it was probably good because I was just fucking and having kids with everyone, and that's probably not great in the long term. So I'm going to make a decision. Honestly, either way, I feel like is a totally legitimate reason.
Me too. if I could get pregnant, I would have popped out way too many by now. would not have been good.
I sympathize. I was one and done. I got that. I got my shit burned out too.
you got your tubes burned.
It's kind of the same thing. I heard the whole thing going down. It was horrific.
Oh, yeah, because you have to be awake during that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you probably don't have to, but. Yeah.
But you're like, I want to be there.
Yeah. I want to have the full experience of. Of my nuts getting scorched.
Yes. I want to, they're like, is that wet cat? Interesting.
Jesus. So she
says, however, it would be nice to make a baby with him. She does go back and forth. I kind of think that she has completely convinced herself that this is the right thing to do. And ethically, she's okay with it. She's now just trying to get her whole heart behind it. It's almost there. But she's compelling for me. She's the most interesting person on the whole season, I feel like, for me.
All of these, I mean, not all of them, but the majority of the relationships we see on 90 Day are transactional.
Yeah, very true.
And Mike has to understand that he's dating this hot woman that he would, I mean, can we all agree that he probably wouldn't have a chance with her if they just met at a bar?
Never.
Or
never.
On Tinder. And so
she'd be fucking the hot bartender with tattoos.
Yeah. At the end of the day, he is going to have to make compromises to be with her because he has no business being with her.
And he has that part of him that is almost always one of every relationship has. That fairy tale perfect relationship idea that
maybe that's why he's been single for 25 years.
No fucking shit. Y'all, again, there ain't no fairy tales. As I said all the time, The Notebook isn't real.
You mean John Walters isn't following his fairy tale?
Oh, God. She's been over there. Rachel's been, she was over there all Christmas.
I know.
You know. Because the fact that he's never going to be able to come to the U.S. because he's almost killed people several times. And she can't leave because I think people have said her job is there and her other kids are there. So
yeah, and she has an older kid that she can't take away from her daughter's father. Who would be like, no, you're not moving to England to be with this guy that's eye gouged 10 people. What the fuck?
She's one of the worst fairy tale offenders in the whole 90 day franchise. She gets on my every last nerve.
We used to say on our podcast, why doesn't John just move to Mexico? And they're like right across the border. And then someone from Mexico DM'd me and was like, you know, Mexico usually doesn't let people in that have been in 70 fights either, man. Kind of like totally legitimately calling me out for just assuming Mexico lets in whoever.
They let in Amira, and she was just gonna go right to see Lord of the Rings. So,
you know, her eyes are so dead. I kind of am willing to believe that she's killed a bunch of people too.
She's so thirsty on Instagram too. Oh,
have you seen her latest striptease video that she did the other day?
No.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. When you watch it, I'll send you the link. When you watch it, pay attention to her feet. It's so good.
She does seem like a kind of a clumsy swan that's been turned into a human. She's just kind of stumbles, kind of floppy. I don't know. She was always weird for me. And the people who like 90 Day who love victims loved her because they saw her as the ultimate victim, and it was like save Amira, blah blah blah. And then we realized, oh, she's just a clout chaser like all the rest of you. Got it. Yep. Another thing we ruined. So they're talking about he says basically to her, she says, do you regret coming to Colombia? And he's like, well, I don't know.
I mean, it depends on how much sex we have in the next 2 weeks.
Right. Because I think that's all you have to do for him. The other reason is, and at our Chicago show, I got literally shouted down because when we were talking about who did I think had the biggest chance of making it as a couple, and I said Mike and Jimena. Because he would change everything about himself for her.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And no one, because Jasmine and Gino, y'all, they're going to implode. Gino can change everything, but she's probably going to put an ice pick into his brain by the end
of the
season.
I think so too, but I agree, but I think they're still together. And I think that they aren't going to make it per se, but I think that she's going to come over here and they're going to be on 90 Day OG.
Oh, God. They're so fucking fantastic. She's a legitimate crazy person. Like, there's no other word. She's really unhinged.
It really transitioned this episode to me. Don't get me wrong. I'm laughing at the beginning, but when she's sobbing in that hotel lobby, I felt like I was watching someone having a legitimate mental crisis, and it started to become like actually uncomfortable.
No, she's unwell. She's not well. And the only thing that kind of redeems her and keeps her comedic, because we keep calling her a cartoon, is she'll have like moments of clarity, and then that laugh, and then we go. Not to be eclipsed by Gino's pianoma. So they're talking about, you know, she said, do you forgive me for not being able to have a child? And then we hear him say, and I knew he'd get around to it, it's okay. We'll just raise Harold and Juan together.
No big deal.
It's fine. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I
no more secrets. No more secrets.
No more secrets. Because no more secrets.
Except that, you know, I'm in love with someone else. No big deal.
Except for I'm still carrying that torch for that prison fuck. Ooh. I gotta say, there were several. I'm a bad boy lover too. And man, I didn't. Maddie always says things like, "How many men in prison have you dated?" And I said, never never after prison, only before. And then they went to prison. So I don't know what that says. And then I have dated two who have wound up in prison, but it's all very white collar stuff. So
love before lockup.
Love before lockup.
That's the next spinoff.
And what really that tells you is I have really bad taste. So they are later on. They're taking a trip. They're going to Salento, which does look quite touristy, but it's gorgeous. And they're at this beautiful, it's like mountainside room. And that was when they're kissing and he just lets one rip. And she's like, I don't like it.
I thought he did a double tap, and it was, the look on his face was kind of one of joy. Did you feel that too?
Yes. Because I think he's ready to share that with her, that he's a serial farter.
Yeah. I mean, he lives in a house with a couple old men. I mean, those guys are ripping farts every day. His grandpa and father are probably sharting constantly. This is his entire life.
If you lit a match in that place, it would just go up in flames.
Yeah.
It's just with the father and grandfather. What? It's just screaming at one another.
We call his father and grandfather Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf, yes. Yeah. Yes. So they are, and then we have our favorite, Te amo. Te amo whispering. Te amo.
Te amo. Te amo.
So they're later on, they're in the hot tub and he's saying things like, so let's talk a little bit more. Thank God I had this translator. And what happened to the kids' fathers? Turns out they never lived together. She just, it was a one and done. She just moved on.
It was, spontaneous pregnancy.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, there may be a little bit more. I live with, how do you say?
Aggressive. They're just aggressive, you know? They're alpha male.
Yeah, they know what they want. They just...
Yeah, and they take it with a gun.
And you're right. The thing is, y'all, there's a reason why there were movies made about the Sicario and the style. Like, these are hired killers who have... not a lot of compassion. I'm really underselling that. But the fact that she was able to live with one, I don't know. She can really look the other way, I have a feeling.
I want to know how she found out. I want to know if there were red flags that she just ignored. But then it's kind of, look, I mean, according to her, if you believe her story, she found out that he murdered people and then she left. What else do you want from him? What else do you want?
I saw that there were actual fingers on his keychain.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew he wasn't right for me.
I found the arsenal in the basement. I mean, it was just a no-brainer from there.
I thought it was weird when he paid with kilos of cocaine. When we'd go out to eat. But yeah, it is that kind of stuff.
He didn't have to pay. He just kind of gave him the look. He just looked at him side-eyed.
She's like, it's amazing how easily you can get a table in this town. God, I love him. He's just so connected.
Open table is always so booked up. And then I met you. And, you know, this is just great. You don't even wear a mask. It's phenomenal. No one says shit to you. No.
It's amazing. It's the perks of being with you. Wow. You're like the mayor. And so she did. My favorite thing is the way she matter of factly says, yeah. And then he sent me, I broke off with him, but he sent me a message saying, you have 3 days to enjoy your life before I murder you.
The implication to that is pretty savage because he's implying you can just go anywhere you want in the 3 days and I'll find you. I'll find you.
And then he's like, is this a problem? And she's like, that was like 2 whole years ago.
It's 2 years. It was before COVID. It was before COVID. I mean, doesn't that feel a long time ago? I mean, it does.
I've had 4 boyfriends since then. Yeah. It's fine. All of them are fine. Oh, my God. Oh, I will say I can't get enough of his reaction to her, because even though he's a grown adult man, he's very, very sheltered, and she has lived. And every time he says things like, you can see he's not trying to react.
He's trying so hard not to judge her because he still wants to have sex.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it about them. We're going to take a little commercial break, and we will be right back. Y'all, we're back. And let's
bring
in...
How much do you think I weigh?
I hate these fucking people. I have zero patience with these people, especially when... I'm glad you're fit. I'm glad you've made certain goals in your life. And I'm glad you like to live healthy. I don't give a shit about it. And I don't want to know about it. No one else does either. Only other crazy health obsessed people do.
Can you imagine how sick of this shit his ex-wife was?
Oh, I can only imagine what the last 4 months of their relationship was like, where she was just... he says that she's still into him. She may still be, but this fucker was insufferable.
Do you think that he would, after they ate a meal, and if she had an extra helping of steamed chicken, that he would put the calipers on her after dinner?
Possibly. Honey, I'm going to have to, that's another mile we're going to have to run this evening.
We're going to have to do another Way Down workshop class together. Sorry.
Gwen would not be happy. Or the spirit of Gwen, I guess. I guess they still do Way Down workshops, don't they?
Oh, yeah. The daughter took over.
That's right. I forget. The one who looks like she has Stockholm syndrome all the time.
Seamless transition. She looks like Elizabeth Holmes if she grew up in a barn.
That's a really apt description. Yes. Oh, I loved that. I loved that documentary.
We might cover that on our...
That's right. Talk about...
documentary podcast.
They have... you guys, Kim and Kyle have a whole documentary podcast called D-Sides. What have you guys done so far?
We've done a couple of more... I was going to say lighthearted, but that's totally not true. Just maybe more pop culture documentaries to start. We did What Happened Brittany Murphy, not lighthearted, about death.
That and was then we rough.
Did, yeah. And then we did The Curse of Von Dutch, which was also about death, but also kind of lighthearted and silly. Mm-hmm. And we recently covered our third episode we just put out a week ago was pretty heavy, but it felt, you know, it felt important. And we're not really used to that at Cray Cray.
What do you mean? We're doing God's work.
We covered In the Same Breath, which is it's about COVID response in China. Mm-hmm. Pretty hard to watch, but very interesting. And then we're putting out next week, we're covering something incredibly inspirational. It's called The Rescue, and it's about the guys that rescued the 13 kids in Thailand.
A couple years ago. God, I remember that story.
Phenomenal documentary. Really amazing and inspiring.
Well, yeah. So when you get done with us talking about Christians dating 24-year-old girls, God told them to do it, and me talking about dicks, give a documentary podcast, D-Sides.
Do we know that it's a woman, though? I mean, it could be a dude from Africa.
It's happened. It's happened once before. Y'all, it's a new one. It's Ben. He's 52 from Fraser, Michigan. I gotta say, this is our third Michigander of And I want to say our first maybe was Stephanie from Grand Rapids. And we know how well that turned out. But we also have, Gino from, they all a little bit, I've been told when I do Michigan accents, they're like, you're doing it a little much. And I'm like, I'm doing you right now. And you sound like that.
Totally. I don't know if there's ever been someone from Michigan that has come off well on this show.
No. And of course, Memphis is from Michigan. We'll talk about her in a bit. I don't know where Fraser is. I'm sure someone will show me on the mitten and that will be how I know. I went to school in Ann Arbor, so I do know Michigan a little bit. I loved Ann Arbor.
Were you taught that your body was extremely sinful?
You know what? I learned that there. I got into a lot of sin. So I did not know my body was sinful, but when I left Michigan, I knew it was.
I felt it.
And his hands were all over my body. There were roving hands. Is that Carrie's mother? I could smell the liquor on his breath. And I liked it. I liked it. It's my best Piper Laurie. What you also will get on this podcast. So yeah, he's like, maybe I'm 215. Maybe I'm 205. 203.
203. Wow.
Then there's the worst response when you're in a job interview to how would I describe myself? I've never thought about it before.
Well, I'm a fitness model. And I'm not going through a midlife crisis as I polish my Harley. Not at all.
Right?
Totally, totally not a midlife crisis that I'm covered in motor oil.
That he bought off of Amazon. And you know, it's everything reeks of it too, like moving out of your house, maybe moving away from your three children, dating way younger than you. It's laughable because it is such a cliche. Yeah. He doesn't get it. He was raised like Kyle said, he was raised that his body was sinful, almost evil. And that he was in a fringe version of the Baptist church. Now, I grew up Methodist, but around a lot of Baptist churches growing up in the South. And they can be quite – this is not even the Southern Baptist Convention, which is pretty conservative in its views. So these are probably independent Baptists, like the Duggars, I think, where these are. So this is – these are the people who I believe where the women wear skirts and not pants, like Bob Jones University. They are very conservative. It's the, like he said, it's no TV, no movies.
Just no joy at all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, you're trying to, you take away all temptation. So you can only think about God and also, you that way you don't have to ever know what you could be missing. So it works out.
It seems to always work out great for everyone. There's never any problems that arise from that at all.
And he said, I definitely wanted to go to heaven, so I decided to become a pastor because that's the easiest way.
There's never been a pastor that's done bad things.
No. Jimmy Swaggart was just misunderstood. Look at here, Huck, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be a pastor. That's a Big River cut for all of you musical lovers. This is, and so he actually at the time was like, the children's ministry, my partner, we fell in love and we married. And I was thinking, I think either you convinced yourself that you were in love.
Because, well, yeah, I was going to ask you, did he actually say that he fell in love with her? I didn't write that down. I think he just said, I just married her. I think they were ever in love.
Because if you're thinking that your body is sinful and even attraction might be sinful, you're going to push that away and you're going to marry kind of the person who is on paper
thing. You're going to marry based on proximity.
Right.
Because you need to have sex right now.
Right.
But you don't want to go to an eternal lake of fire. That's
exactly.
That's no good.
Yeah. Hard, really rough summers there.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
The winters are passable.
There's no jet boats. There's no jet boats with John Candy at the wheel.
It's a dry heat, but no. I've been told it's very moist.
They pump in the humidity just to really drive it home.
It's like Florida.
Yeah.
So they are. He is He's like, I had to make the decision to. We left this cult after it became, he calls it that, and we were seeking counseling, but everything, it just became too much for him, I assume. And he said he wanted a divorce, and this was, now they have joint custody of the kids, and he says, I'm trying to work through it all, and we're trying to co-parent together. Everything feels a little bit sanitized in his version. I guarantee Lisa, the ex, has a lot of thoughts.
Oh, I absolutely agree. We were talking about this on our podcast. Can you imagine his ex watching this show and this guy saying that the mother, he said, we only saw three, but he said he had four kids. Can you imagine?
You're right, he did. We only saw three of them.
The father of your four kids that you were married to for 24 years going on TV and saying that you neglected him for 24 years and I filed for divorce and now he's dating a 25-year-old.
Yeah, because she's the love of his life and they've known each other for what?
And I felt something days. I've never felt with anyone before over text, including my bitch of an ex.
I mean, look at her. She's just sitting there with that smug face. Boy, she was pulling the faces during those. And the kids were too.
Yeah, because I think that they've seen this shit before in the last couple years. They're dating kind of a proto-narcissist here. And
yeah.
They've already seen his patterns. And so they see him repeating the same shit and they just are already exhausted by him.
Yeah, and it seems like there's this kind of, even from all of the kids, there's this kind of eye rolling, what new stupid shit is dad gonna do now that he's basically found this second adolescence that he did not have. So he's now gonna act like a teenager but he has responsibilities of an adult.
They respond with complete resignation.
Yes, which is hard to watch.
The only thing that the kids ask him is, she speak English? Like, that's kind of it.
Ooh, ooh. And the
it's not a midlife crisis. It's not a midlife crisis. It's not.
And when they are... There was the one thing, too, where they're talking about even his friends. Even the friends are like, and obviously he only socialized with church people. He's one of those Christians. And he's always like, the look on their faces and the woman who it there, you can tell this guy has like next level misogyny, too. Because the blonde woman is like, I don't know. He kind of looks at her like, how dare you question me, woman? You're lucky you can speak. But it's this, and the fact that she's coming at him for that is just even worse. And the friends are kind of like, this is a little sketchy. And what did you think, Kyle, when you saw the video of, quote, mahogany?
Well, you know, I thought that she knows Jesus.
Yes.
And so I don't know what the problem was. Look, this is that video. You could have copy and pasted that from Maria's Instagram.
Yes, and she was using the same Rebecca filters.
Yes, she looked exactly like Rebecca with the worst filter setting. It was absurd. She doesn't say his name. She doesn't indicate in any way that she actually is speaking to someone named Ben in the United States.
No.
It was ridiculous. And what? There's no explanation for why she's shy.
No, right? that's the thing. Even good scammers have an explanation.
Right. And give me a backstory. Yeah, tell me your drama.
At least Williams, at least Yolanda and Williams didn't have a phone and his phone screen was broken. That's a pretty goddamn convenient excuse. She's
his
got
phone
no
screen was broken for 6 months. It's not his fault, okay?
I still remember watching that season, and after the daughter kept walking her through it, Yolanda's like, no, I think he's Williams. One of the dumbest people they've ever had on the show. But there was something charming about her. She was dumb, but at least she was slightly likable.
What was remarkable about her is you have someone so just a bag of hammers level dumb that raised. Didn't she have six kids?
I always said the kids always looked the same age.
No, they were all 25 at the same time, and they were all just so they were great TV.
Yeah, and the kids were doing the same thing that was happening here. Like eye rolling, and the kids were even throwing Yolanda's kids threw even more shade at her. And she was like, my one thing we still say, it's become a catchphrase of our show, is when they said, have you done a good Google reverse image search? And she's like, Google reverse, I'm not familiar.
What?
I'm not familiar with a Google reverse image search. And so anytime now we go, I'm not familiar with that. The thing about you guys, we were talking about this a little bit before. I think one of the reasons we do these shows is these ridiculousness of these people bring us absolute joy, and we're glad that we're not them. And Yolanda brought me so much joy, and I don't think Ben is going to bring us as much joy because I don't think it's going to end up well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, like with Yolanda, the end of her story was this kind of bizarre resignation. Yeah. And then she went on to repeat similar mistakes offline. Like she dated that Josh Cedar guy, but it wasn't real. It was so strange. My concern with Ben is that when he finds out that Mahogany is a man in Nigeria, that he's going to react very poorly
and he's gonna throw some aggro fit. Yeah.
He's going to get into a fight about wearing a mask at the airport.
You know, that seems so apt. That seems like it could easily happen. The friends find out that he has given her $1,000. That's just
on the 90-day sliding scale, that's pennies.
That's not that bad.
But it was a loan. He didn't give it to her. It was a loan.
It was a loan. And I'm sure there's an interest plan set up.
I'm sure they have a contract and he's sending her 1099s and all that.
And the notary looked just like her who signed it with the filters. He did say, the friends are like, yeah, and remember that time with the other person? And he's like, yeah, he's like, so I was catfished before, and it was actually a man. It was a man in Africa. And I went, oh my God, you're one of those.
It's the best. It's the best. It's phenomenal. Like with any other person, you guys are watching Single Life, right?
Oh my God. What I call it Single Life 2 Attack of the Trolls.
And Single Life with Debbie, you kind of sympathize and you it puts you in her shoes her navigating this new world of dating that she hasn't done for 40 years.
No, she's the most interesting person on it.
I totally agree. With Ben, he's kind of doing the same thing, but you feel no sympathy for him whatsoever.
None.
And it's great. It's great to watch.
It feels creepy, and he gives me, I kept thinking, who does he remind me of? And I realized it's Garrick from Seeking Sister Wife.
Absolutely. Garrick and Hank Scorpio from The
Simpsons. That like grossness and the kind of like when Garrick would go, but I love Bert. And the boy, I think he's one of the creepiest men I've seen on any reality show is Garrick. And
if they don't bring them back for season 3 or 4, whatever, I'm boycotting.
Well, someone needs to check on that woman otherwise, because I think she's buried in the backyard and Bert's got a shovel.
Bert got her Sicario out to take care of business.
Oh, God. We watched a couple episodes of that show. And, of course, I watched it all. I wouldn't recap it. But that was one of those shows where I had to watch looking through my hands sometimes.
Their storyline was – it made the entire season. I honestly can't even remember anyone else on that fucking season.
It's not – you can't really. It was them. Everyone else was kind of – you could kind of have a little empathy, but you still couldn't understand about her signing her own divorce. You just couldn't get over that.
I remember the people in Utah were actually kind of sweet.
Oh, yeah. The guy who kind of talked like this.
He's kind of, yes. I want to make sure that she will fit in with our family.
So she's going to come out from New York or North Carolina, and she's going to see if she wants to be like a sister wife.
You're right. He was very non-threatening. And then the girl was like, "Yeah, peace out. This is not for me."
He's the only man that's ever been on that show that I didn't think was just a sexual pervert piece of garbage. Like it actually felt like he wasn't doing it just so he could plow 3 chicks all the time.
Kyle, if you did a little research, you would realize like all those men have. You've done a lot of research and reading the Bible. You'd realize that it's perfectly normal. For a religious reason they're doing it. Not that they could get all the pussy they could ever want.
God has given us this opportunity at love, as Ben would say.
That idea. And who he's like, I've just done a lot of research and I've done a lot of thought about it. It's kind of like Ben, it's amazing what you can tell people that God wants you to do.
Oh, it's so amazing. I am so jealous of this. To be able to walk into a room, take a shit on the carpet, rub it in with my fucking boot and say, well, God's plan.
It's a shame we're both godless heathens because no one would let us do that. It's a shame. So he's telling you guys, he's telling the kids about Mahogany. By the way, that is her name. Do you know where you're going to? Na, 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 na. It's all that Diana Ross movie, y'all. And the kids are Acadia, Joy, and Elijah, I believe. I don't hate those names. It's amazing. I usually hate all 90-day names. He's like, I feel guilty about the divorce, but Lisa, she's still not over it.
You know, she's only raising 4 kids basically by herself, it seems like. She's just not over it. Get over it. This is what God wanted, so you need to get over it.
This is what, come on, get with God's plan. And he basically says, I've fallen in love with a woman. She's 24 years old and from Peru. And the mother's face is like stank. And even the daughter Joy is like, what? They have great faces. And they say, it's not the first time you've fallen for someone younger. And that definitely was not God's plan.
See, but it was, because that led me to Mahogany.
Oh, yeah. Look how that works.
Isn't that so nice? And
it's like the movie nice Serendipity.
Nice little package that you can wrap up with a bow. The looks on their faces are just, they're really looks of resignation. Like, yeah. you fucking dragged us out here, made us a salad and some boiled chicken.
Hot dogs or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And kids are eating hot dogs. He's eating chicken.
And you're going to fucking put us on camera. We're in high school. Do you realize?
It does feel exploitive.
What you're fucking doing to this family right now, because you're plowing a fake AI.
And you know, he has jerked off to that picture so much. Almost
can you imagine how many times you've beaten it to that that 3 second video? Hi, I'm Mahogany.
Just her name.
I'm Mahogany.
It is, and that's because that's all he has of her. But it also, he's so terrible. He's made it. He's Christianized the image. And he's imagined the first time they have sex, probably, and it'll be like touched by God.
Angels playing trumpets. Yeah.
And then angels get so turned on, they're like, yeah, I'm chicken. I'm going to jerk it too.
Thunderstorm begins.
If anyone's, I think we did have a couple people leave because of our comments about religion. And I think the last thing I did say was the Last Supper with Jesus. And I said, dinner's over. It's time to run a train on Jesus. And we did have someone who said, and that's when I canceled my Patreon. And I was like, lady, you haven't been listening. I've said much worse.
I think that they're homosexuals. 1 star.
Ooh. We got a great one about I really love these guys for a while time, but I had to cancel my thing because they're vaccine freaks and that's all they talk about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
and they're like check out the science. 1 star.
Do your own research, okay?
I'm like, bye, great, vaya con Dios. So, yeah, this is gonna turn out as well as you guys think. Do you think he will find her? Do you think he will meet her?
I don't think he ever gets on an airplane.
Oh, I thought the next episode showed him there.
My interpretation of that is that he's in the airport about to get on the plane, and then she texts him, no.
Don't come.
No.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the Williams of this season.
When the season started, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Ella would never meet Johnny.
Yeah.
And we kind of assumed that Ella and Johnny and Ben and Mahogany would kind of be merged into one there's kind of always one couple that never meets on Before the 90, at least. Mm-hmm. Lately.
Yeah.
And they kind of merged two storylines into one shitty, make fun of them for 2 episodes and then forget they ever existed.
I still
person.
don't think Ella, that Johnny's going to come to America.
No, never.
No, not after I met her, his mother. And she said what she said. Shall we move on? It's not a very long one, but let's jump into, let's do it. Why not? Let's do Baby Girl Lisa 2 and Usman. Zara, Zara.
Fabulous. Who's this? Superstar. Who's Zara? This is kind of weird. He said Zara, and then he said Zara's just a name, and there's lots of girls named Zara. No big deal.
No, there's like, this is for the Zaras all over the world.
This is for every Zara.
And he was singing that song, and she
shout out Zara. Shout out Zara. all over the world.
Her face was beaming, and I was like, Fleetwood Mac watched this and go, okay, that takes balls.
God.
Like, Lindsey Buckingham singing songs about Stevie Nicks with her. And even they would say, this is fucked up, that she flew halfway around the world.
What? Hey, like, so let me ask you a question. What Soulja Boy shirt are you wearing today?
Mine is just the USB. Mine, it's the simple logo. I didn't go for the blinged out one.
Mine says King of Africa.
Y'all, it's the day of the shoot, and she's like, no one's here. No one's here. We Maddie does her with a, she's a slight lisp, and so it kind of talks like this all the time. And she's like, no one's here. That's it. I guess I'm the first one here. And Soulja Boy is like, I'm trying to get everything going. He's like, but, and I'm bringing her here mostly so I can see if she gets jealous with the models or not.
It feels like there's other ways to accomplish this goal than to fly her
therapy.
Right. I'm going to fly her around the entire fucking planet and bring a bunch of hot chicks that I'm going to fondle for 10 hours shooting a music video just to see if she's jealous. That makes sense.
So they are there. She's already walking around this place like she's his momager. And she's a pageant mom. She's a Toddlers and Tiaras mom or a terrible stage mom. She's like, come on, honey, get that flipper down. Come on. You can do it. You want your go-go juice?
More spray perfume, please.
Come on, keep your energy up, Connie. Now do it like sassy. Give me sassy. Talk to the judges. Look at the judges, honey. Okay, look at the judges.
It would have been so fucking entertaining if she had really leaned into it and started critiquing him about, like, what are you doing? Put your hand on her ass. Come on, I don't feel any sexual tension. Touch your tits. What are you doing? Shove your tongue down her mouth. Come on.
And she's obviously so out of her element. And she's trying to act like, she's like, yeah, I've been on professional sets before. But she doesn't know anything. And she's like,
I watched a Michael Jackson video one time. And this is unprofessional. Okay.
So he is there with the model, and she's like, ooh, it's like so weird thinking about him like with another woman, because I've obviously, he's so into me. That's when he says he's talking about how much he loves Zara in the song. And she's like, the look on her face is like, she's saying it, she's thinking it's about her. But all I can think of, they even show the picture of the woman. I really hope we meet Zara. There was a theory that Zara might have catfished him, because she never met him. I don't know if that's true.
I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but a year ago, when Before the 90s season 4 was out and it was airing on TV, literally anyone could DM Usman and talk to him.
That's right. Everyone was talking to him.
You could send him a picture of your tits and he would talk to you for hours.
There's something about him that is so comforting, because he's a scammer and his motives are so out in the open, and it doesn't feel like, yes, he's shitty, of course, but like not in the same way of like Big Pred level or
sure.
He's just kind of like an old worn shoe. I can take these people.
I appreciate him because on the macro level, I don't get it at all.
Me either.
I don't get it at a high level, but on the micro level, he actually seems like he knows what he's doing.
I totally agree.
Think about it this way. He's just DM'd with this chick for a couple weeks. And now he's gotten renewed on another season of the most popular franchise on this show.
Right.
He got a PS5 in Nigeria.
And a laptop.
And all he has to do is pretend to be pissed off at Slam Tea.
And Badmouth. Badmouth and Slam Tea. Remember, he doesn't have to do anything for her. He doesn't have to kiss her. He can give her a side hug occasionally. And then on the way home, he puts his head in her lap. He kind of sleeps there. And all I can think of is he dreaming about chasing rabbits.
He's dreaming about slamming Zara. That's what he's doing.
That's exactly it. Boy.
Tactical maneuver that I appreciate.
I think that's it too. I like it because you can see the gears working for him.
Yeah.
And these women, he's chosen women who are not victims. Like Kim is well aware of what she's doing on some level. She's just deluded herself so much.
She's deluded herself that she's a potential.
Yes, a potential. Not just a girl, a potential.
But she also, as you said, she knows that she has to kind of... Look, if you're traveling to another continent to fight for a man, like really fucking process that. But that's what she has opted into. And she wants to be on TV, it seems like, too. She wants to show her Michael Jackson hat. She was very excited.
All of my Michael Jackson collectibles, all of that. And she also compares Usman to Michael Jackson because, like MJ, he's a perfectionist. I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't see a lot of that attention to detail.
It seemed like he was just kind of sitting around and then doing a low energy job the whole day.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of, let's do that take again. They're like, Usman, it's the 12th time. No, again. One more time of me touching that girl's ass.
Oh, the power went out and you can't finish cutting my hair? Oh, well, let's just go.
That's an MJ move, totally. And then later on when they're fighting, Badmus and Slam T they're like, you're the problem. And she's like, no, I was the one keeping everything going around here, blah, 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 blah. And Usman knows it's good to say, you know what? You guys did disappoint me. This woman came halfway around the world. And then she laid her head on him and she was happy. And she's like, he's thinking, that's at least a good controller for my PS5.
Exactly. I so wanted him to reach his hand through the seat cushion and just give like a fist bump to Slam T.
Oh, yeah. You know that happened later.
I wonder if they have a daily just pep talk. Okay, today I'm going to shit on you super hard because we need Madden 22, guys. So we can do this. We got it. All you have to do is pretend that, God, it's bad. I want to know, like, Kimberly starts the day shitting on everyone, but we didn't get a lot of footage of her during the shoot.
No.
But then she says, thank God I was there because it would have been a disaster. But we saw do nothing.
She made sure everyone had water.
She just shit on the hairdresser, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, I feel like Kim Bali is one of those people who is always trying to talk about how much they've done for people. And I wouldn't say it, but like, they don't know. She's that person at the office. Like, people don't know how much I do here. You guys, people don't know how much I do. That's just
exactly it. Right.
That's that person at the office. Oh, we all have one of those.
Ugh. And then when they get laid off, oh, you guys, you'll be so sorry. You won't even know.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
you're going to have to hire 5 people to replace me.
To do the work of me. Yeah. And guess what? Then the office becomes so productive because people like that love to spend time telling everyone what they've done. That's what they spend time doing. Oh, God. Oh, y'all, that's part one. We're going to be back to talk about the other 3 messes Caleb and Alina, yes, we are going to talk about it. Then Memphis and Hamza, and of course, Panama with Jasmine and Gino. my microphone's like, please never do that again.
Everyone's car speakers are crying.
and they drive past a barnyard and a sheep goes, ah! Kyle will also be my guest in the second half, but you guys will be talking about that, and we'll see you in the second half. You guys get tickets to our live show, and we will see you soon.